You'll turn now in your Bibles to the book of Romans and chapter 8. We've been studying the book of Romans on Sunday mornings throughout last year. We took a little bit of a break through the Advent and Christmas season. Now we return to our study of Paul's epistle to the Romans, Romans chapter 8. We'll just be looking at verse 1 this morning. There is an outline in your bulletin if you would like to follow along. We'll just be looking at verse 1, but I'd like to read the first paragraph as it is here, verses 1 through 4. Paul writes, "Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." The word of the Lord. Let us pray. Father, once again, we turn to you in prayer because we are in need of your grace. We pray that you would send your Holy Spirit that we might truly understand what you have to say to us this morning through your word. We thank you for this letter to the Romans. We thank you for our ability to be able to read and to meditate on it and to think about it and to see it applied in our own lives. We pray that by your grace you would work in our hearts, draw us into a deeper fellowship with you, assure us of your great love for us. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Are you having a good day? You got up and had a great breakfast. Listen to Charles Stanley as you get dressed. It's great to have a day off from work where you can go to church and be with your friends and be encouraged and at least on this one day of the week feel that God is in control. As you think back about what happened in the past week or what lies in the week ahead, to think at least everything is right today. God's in control. Everything is going to be all right. And to find that the hymns and the prayers and the fellowship and the Word of God is all working together to assure us that God is there, and it gives us a good perspective on life. It's a great day in South Carolina. And it's a great day in God's house as God's people. Do you ever have bad days? You don't want to get up. You didn't get much sleep. Your body is tired. It is racked with pain. You kept waking up during the night worrying about money, your health. And then you have an argument with your husband or your wife and you say some things that you shouldn't. The kids are just getting on your nerves. You spank them out of anger. You yell at them as you leave. Forget the Bible. I don't have time to read that thing. I've got to get to work. I've got to make some money so that I can feed these ungrateful kids. And so there you are in the car and you're feeling guilty about the way that you treated your family. What a poor excuse for a Christian. Somebody cuts you off in traffic and you mutter a few choice words under your breath. It's a good thing I'm a Christian or I'd really let you have it. And then you're in a bad mood all day long. A poor example of a child of the living God. Who would ever want to visit your church? Who would ever come to you and ask for counsel or for advice? Do you ever have bad days like this, where your performance as a Christian is rather poor? How could God love me? How can I ever expect Him to forgive me for doing that again? How could I ever expect God to bless me? God must really be tired of putting up with me. What I want you to see this morning is what God Himself says about you who are Christians, those of you who are in Christ. By faith, you have laid hold of Christ, and you are in Christ, and you were following Christ. What God says, God's unchanging attitude toward you, God's heart as He thinks about you. It's all found in this one verse, Romans 8, verse 1. Good day, bad day, really bad day. This is God's attitude toward you. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. In this verse, four great words and then one really great name that we'll talk about. First of all, four great words. The first word that just reaches out and grabs your attention, it's a great word, but it's a terrible word. It's the word condemnation. That's the one that just leaps out at you. Therefore, there is now no condemnation. Hopefully few of us have ever had to stand before a judge and hear the gavel fall and hear those awful words. Guilty. Condemned. Liable for all damages. Unfortunately for others, that whole feeling of condemnation is one that is all too familiar. Perhaps you grew up in an atmosphere where there was constant criticism and disapproval. A father, or a mother, or an employer, never pleased with what you do. Demanding, exacting, exasperating. Or an abusive spouse. You're fat, you're ugly, you'll never amount to anything. Nobody likes you. As unpleasant as it is, we need to hear this morning what the Bible says about a legitimate condemnation that all people are under. Paul has been talking about it, and we've studied it as we've gone through this book this past year. Chapter 1, verse 18. Paul says, "The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness." I don't really think of myself as a wicked person, though. Certainly that Paul is not talking about me, a wicked person. Well, just drop down to verse 21. Romans 1:21. "For although they knew God, they neither glorified Him as God nor gave thanks to Him. Did you ever lie down at the end of a day to go to sleep and didn't stop and give thanks to God for all of the good things that He gave you that day? Wicked is what Paul says, what the Bible says. You're under God's condemnation. Chapter 2, verse 5. Because of your stubbornness and your unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath against yourself for the day of God's wrath, when His righteous judgment will be revealed. God will repay each person according to what they have done. Chapter 3, beginning at verse 10. Quoting from the Old Testament, Paul writes, "There is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands. There is no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one." Verse 23 of chapter 3. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. It's not just the active things that are done, but everyone has fallen short of what God wants from us. Have you ever broken one of these? There's only 10. Have you ever broken one of them? Have you ever lied? Have you ever lusted? Have you ever gotten so angry that you wanted to hit somebody in the face? Have you ever dishonored your parents, disappointed your parents, taken something that was not yours? And it's not just the things that we have done or the things that we do, but it's who we are that is the problem. It's not just our sins, plural. It's what team we're on. It's our sin, singular. We're on the wrong side. Chapter 5, verse 12. "Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all people because all sinned." Verse 18, "Just as one trespass resulted in condemnation for all people." Verse 19, "Just as through the disobedience of the one man," we're talking about Adam, "the many were made sinners." We're all under God's condemnation. God made us. God has the right to make the rules. If we don't do what He says, it's not His fault. It's our fault. Our sin, our sins place us under His condemnation. We're guilty. We're liable for all damages. We deserve to be punished. God's not being unfair. He's not being unreasonable. It's not that He just doesn't like you. He's righteous, He's just, He's holy. He sees things as they really are. So this first word, it's a great word, but it's a terrible word. Condemnation. But thankfully, there's a second word that we want to talk about this morning. A second great word, and it's the word no. Therefore, there is now no condemnation. And God's no means no. It's not that we are exempt from some condemnation. It's not that we are exempt from most condemnation. And it's not that we're exempt from almost all condemnation. No condemnation. God's no means no. Under God's wrath? No. Liable for damages? No. Subject to punishment? No. Sentenced to death? No. God angry with you because you're having a bad day and you just don't seem to be able to keep up with the rest of the Christians? No. No condemnation, the positive way of saying that is justification, to be justified, to be declared completely right with God. Nothing stands between you and God. Nothing separates, nothing alienates. God loves us and He forgives us and embraces us as His own child, a completely righteous child. No condemnation. Westminster Shorter Catechism is helpful. It talks about justification in terms of a righteousness that is imputed, a righteousness that is not earned, but rather it's imputed. It's placed to our account, and it comes to us through faith alone in Jesus Christ. Heidelberg Catechism. It's hard to believe that this is true, but it is. Heidelberg Catechism. God grants and credits to you the perfect satisfaction, righteousness, and holiness of Christ, as if you had never sinned or been a sinner. As if you had always perfectly obeyed God as Christ obeyed God. That's how God looks at you. I mean, what a great word. No. No condemnation. Third great word, and it's our old friend. We've seen this a number of times in Romans. It's the word, therefore. Therefore, there is now no condemnation. Therefore sends us back to everything that Paul has already said in Romans. Therefore assures us that there is a solid reason. There are solid reasons as to why there is no condemnation. Not to be irreverent, but it's not as though God just woke up one day and said, you know, I think I'm going to forgive Troy Watson. I just think I'll do that today for no reason other than I want to. That wouldn't be fair, would it? Wouldn't be right. There's got to be solid reasons as to why God would come and say that there's no condemnation. Otherwise, it's not fair, it's not righteous, it's not just. That's not who God is. And so there are reasons. Therefore, points us back to the reasons. This is all reviewed, right? Christ died for us. Therefore, there is now no condemnation. Romans 3, beginning at verse 22. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And all are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of His blood to be received by faith. He did this to demonstrate His righteousness. Christ died for us. Therefore, there is now no condemnation. We're free from God's wrath. And that's the message of Romans 5, very first verse. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Free from God's wrath. And if we're free from God's wrath, therefore, there is now no condemnation. We're free from sin. We're dead to sin. That's the message of Romans chapter 6. We've died to sin. We were therefore buried with Christ through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. We're free from the law. Therefore, there is now no condemnation. We're free from having to perform. We're free from having to get on a treadmill and do things in order to make God love us and want to forgive us. Chapter 6, verse 14, Paul said, sin shall no longer be your master because you are not under law, but under grace. Chapter 7, verse 4, so, my brothers and sisters, you also died to the law through the body of Christ, that you might belong to another, to him who was raised from the dead, in order that we might bear fruit for God. He says it again in verse 6 of chapter 7, but now by dying to what once bound us, we have been released from the law so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code. No wonder at this point with Romans 8:1, Paul begins, therefore, think about all of this. Therefore, there is now no condemnation. All the good things that Paul has talked about, that he has said about us, in Romans 1 through 7 is contained right here in this one word, therefore. And then the fourth great word. It's the word now. Therefore, there is now no condemnation. It's not that once upon a time there was no condemnation. It's not that back when I was an 8-year-old boy and I prayed to receive Christ to come into my heart and my life was changed, that then there was no condemnation, but I've kind of blown it since then a couple of times and condemnation has come back in. That's not what he's saying. It's not that there once upon a time was no condemnation. It's not back when you first believed, when you first prayed to receive Christ, when you were baptized, or when you first joined a church, or when you were first admitted to the Lord's table. Paul says, now, therefore there is now no condemnation. It's not that there will one day be no condemnation. I mean, that is true. No matter what happens to you, no matter what mistakes you make, no matter what sins you commit, no matter what failures you experience, God is not going to withdraw his gift of justification and say, give that back to me. God is not going to say at some point, forget you, you are a poor example of a Christian. You're not what I was thinking about when I saved you. You're not worth it. You already know you're not worth it. Isn't that what Paul says? Romans 5, verse 8. God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we... Paul's talking about himself and he's talking about us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Right now there is no condemnation. It's not that just one day there will be no condemnation, but now. It's not that this is an ideal, something for you to strive for. Earn it the old-fashioned way. You know, working for it. Doing good things. Trying to get your life straightened out. Clean up yourself. Somehow get yourself to that position where you are not under condemnation. Clean up your own record so that when God looks at it, he's not going to find any deficiencies. Now there is no condemnation. And it's not that there's going to be no condemnation only on good days when you're doing well, when you're feeling close to God, when you've had kids aren't bothering you, you're able to read your Bible and pray and have this wonderful time in your devotions and you're feeling really close to God. And the first person you meet during the day, you're able to share Christ with them and it makes an impact on their life. You're able to help somebody. Somebody comes to you for advice at work and they say, I just noticed that you're different from other people and I think that you could help me with my marriage or whatever it is. It's not that there's no condemnation just on the good days. You might be having a bad day. You might be having a bad week, bad month. No amount of bad things can come between you and God. That's going to be the message of Romans chapter 8. Nothing. Therefore, there is now no condemnation. It's not just on good days. No amount of bad things can come between you and God. Not present sufferings, the things that you're having to suffer through now. Romans 8, verse 18. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed to us. Not death. Verse 11. If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of His Spirit who lives in you. Nothing, Paul says. Verse 37. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, or anything else in all creation. What's left out of that? Nothing. That's everything. Nothing. Paul says, nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Good day, bad day, evil day. Now, right now, there is no condemnation. Four really great words. Therefore, there is now no condemnation. But that's not where Romans 8:1 ends, is it? It doesn't even end with a word. It ends with a great name. A really great name. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. I mean, this is a name that has Paul captivated all through this letter. As you read Romans, you get the impression, you read anything that Paul has written, but you read Romans, you get the impression that the Lord Jesus Christ is a name that is very important to Paul, and it applies to somebody who is very dear to Paul. He's fascinated. He's overwhelmed by the glory and the grace of the one who bears this name. The word Lord occurs 43 times in Romans. The name Jesus, 36 times. The title Christ, 65 times. All within 16 chapters of this book. Paul begins the letter defining himself in terms of this name. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus. And Paul will end the letter in such a way so that the last thing that you hear will be ringing in your ears is this great name. He begins by saying, now to him who is able to establish you in accordance with my gospel, the message I proclaim about Jesus Christ, He waxes eloquent with a number of things to say, but he ends the letter, verse 27, to the only wise God be glory forever through Jesus Christ. Amen. He wants that name ringing in your ears. And here in these central chapters that we've been studying, Romans 5, 6, 7, and 8, the very core of this book, he ends each chapter, each theme that he's been talking about, mentioning this name and showing us how this is the key to understanding who we are, what God thinks of us, what is true of us. This name, Paul says, brings God's gift of grace. The last verse of chapter 5. Sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through the righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And then he says that this name is what brings God's gift of eternal life to us. Last verse of Romans 6. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. This name is what sets us free from the law and having to perform and to work hard to get God to love us more and to save us and to keep us saved. We're free from the law. We're dead to the law. Last verse of Romans 7. Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. And then it's this name that delivers me from all evil. Last verse of Romans 8. Absolutely nothing in creation is able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You see how Paul punctuates those four great chapters with this full name of the Lord Jesus Christ to show us the key to our relationship with God. Now, these blessings are not for all people. For those who are in Christ Jesus, all that Paul says here about not being under condemnation is not for everyone. It is for those who are in Christ Jesus. Only for those who have personally embraced Jesus Christ, those who have called upon this name, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. It's only for those who are personally trusting, embracing in faith and in love the Lord Jesus Christ that these blessings are true. Two applications. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Two applications this morning. Number one, memorize this verse and repeat it to yourself every day. I'd be surprised if you don't have it memorized already. This is easy, right? Memorize this verse and repeat it to yourself every day. Appropriate all the good things that God has for you here. Condemnation, yes, that's something that's true and we have to face up with it. We have to acknowledge that we've got a problem. We'll never appreciate the solution if we don't see what our real problem is, condemnation. But then also those other great words, no, therefore, now, in Christ Jesus. Memorize this verse and every day appropriate the truth that God has for us here. Say it to yourself every day. Preach it. Argue with yourself. This is what God says about me. This is who I am. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for me because I'm in Christ Jesus. Second application. Memorize this verse and repeat it to yourself on every bad day. Memorize this verse and repeat it to yourself on every bad day. Don't just repeat this verse on the good days. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to sin. You are going to fail. You're going to fall flat on your face. With Paul, you are going to cry out, "Oh, wretched man that I am! How can I ever get free from this body of death?" You won't always do a good job at being a Christian. You won't always perform well. You won't always be a good example for others, a good representative of the kingdom of Christ. Bad things will happen to you, and bad people will do bad things to you. But none of this ever changes God's mind and heart an attitude toward you. And so every day, bad days, sad days, really bad days, evil days, don't forget what God says. This isn't just the power of positive thinking that I'm going to tell myself that everything is okay. This is what God says. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we simply ask that you would cause this truth to go down deep within our hearts and to provide stability for us, that we might be steadfast, firm, that we would hold fast to this hope of the gospel that is held out to us in Christ Jesus. Help us to turn our eyes away from ourselves and thinking that we are the ones who are saving ourselves or keeping ourselves saved. Help us to fix our eyes upon the Lord Jesus Christ alone. We pray this in his name. Amen.